checking in with the Quincy Health Commissioner Ruth Jones to get an update on the COVID-19 pandemic and what's going on in particular to the city of Quincy. Hey, Ruth, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We're back in the studio on a limited basis here at QATV. I know you have never left the Quincy Health Department.
I think I live here now. I'm not sure, but...
I can see the cot in the background.
Yes, I know.
How are things in your world?
So we're still busy, but we have seen some of the cases start to go down. You know, at one point when the surge was at its worst, we were seeing 30 to 40 cases a day, and now we're down to 5-6 cases a day. Even over the long weekend, we averaged about 5 or 6 cases a day. So that's a huge drop for us, and that's great. You know, we're still following all the and monitoring all the contacts of cases and the cases that are still under isolation and quarantine. So we're still quite busy. But when we see the drop in the cases coming in on a regular basis, that's always a good thing.
How do you feel about the governor's phased reopening plan, Ruth? Do you think it's a safe way to go?
I think the governor is doing it slowly, and I think it's being driven by data, which I think is a smart way to do it. And he's watching the numbers, and we're starting a few things at a time, looking at what the numbers are, and then progressing a little bit. So I think the way he's doing it is a smart way to do it. I think we have to, the virus is what is going to kind of rule how we do this. And hopefully if numbers keep going down, I know I was watching the news this morning, and the amount of hospital beds and the amount of people hospitalized is continuing to go down. And the percentage rate that they wanted under, I believe, 10% is down to 8-something. So as far as cases, so that's great. I think the numbers are doing what we want them to do. But again, you have to be cautious. You can't rush this. It's something that you have to do, an error on the side of being cautious, because we don't want the cases to start to go up. But I think things are going overall, I think things, at least in Quincy, and I think in Massachusetts in general, are going very well.
Yeah, it's interesting with the phasing. Obviously, there are 3-week intervals because it's like a 2-week incubation period, right, for the virus.
Right. So 3 weeks in between each of the intervals, and that will give them time to see if the numbers start to pop up after the phase one. And so far, so good. And that's encouraging. And obviously, when you look at the amount of people that have been out of work or displaced because their work has either closed or they're doing things differently because of the virus, and not everybody is necessary. So we obviously want people to get back to work as quickly as possible. We want to get back to normal, whatever that may be, as quickly as possible. But again, we have to do it cautiously.
Yeah. With things, gradually starting to reopen, what types of precautions should folks be taking when they're out?
So one of the things I think that's been the hardest is to keep reminding people to wear face masks. They're not the most comfortable things to wear, particularly in the warm weather. And we know it's not something people are used to doing, but wearing some sort of face covering when you're out in the public, when you cannot social distance, and social distancing. I think those two things are probably the most difficult mm-hmm. to continuously have people accomplish on a daily basis. But they're probably the two most important things that people can do to keep these numbers going down. I just try to remind people, the more you comply with that, you social distance and you wear a face covering when you can't social distance, or when you're going into businesses, you're supposed to wear a face cover. Whether you can social distance or not, you should have a face covering on. It's to protect you and to protect the other person. If we all protect each other, then these numbers are going to go down. And that's the whole idea of it. The quicker we do this, the better we accomplish that. Hopefully, the quicker these numbers will go down and the virus will pass, and we'll be able to get back to doing things, the way we did before, and the way we want it to do it more comfortably.
Yeah.
So I think those are the two biggest things. And I think it's getting a little bit more difficult with the warm weather, and people are down at the beach and they're, you know, frequenting the food establishments down there, but the lines can get really long and really close. And that's one of our, you know, biggest concerns. And when we see that happening, because the beach is so crowded, and hoping that people are wearing their mask and social distancing. I know it's hard. I know it's hard in the summer and it's hard on a beach, but it's so important.
Yeah, I have a whole new respect for healthcare workers that have worn these for their whole careers, you know, and never really realizing an impotence it is.
Yeah, it's not the most comfortable thing to wear. It's itchy sometimes. It's warm. And in the warm weather, you know, a warm day like today, people don't want to be doing it. You wear glasses with your mask on, your glasses fog up, you can't see. So it's not the most comfortable situation, but it's so important right now. This will pass, and I'm sure down the road we'll be able to do this without masks, and you know, some sort of social distancing might still be around. But until we do that, you know, people really need to be cognizant of how important this is, and you're protecting yourself and you're protecting others. So.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, the long lines, and I thought back to when we talked earlier, and you know, you'd mentioned that the fact that you're in close contact for 15 minutes or longer is the key factor. It's not like you're just passing somebody in the grocery store aisle.
Right, right, and that's one of the issues with this right now, is because you're absolutely right. When you're in the grocery store, you're transient, you're moving. The possibility of you standing in one spot for 15 minutes in a grocery store, other than maybe the cashier, the possibility of that happening is very small. But when you're in a line waiting for food, excuse me, and you know, you may be the 10th person in the line, you're going to be in that line for more than 10 or 15 minutes. And if you're not wearing a mask and you're not social distancing, you're putting everybody at risk, including yourself. So, you know, we want to make that point. That's so important right now.
Yeah. The mayor is really hopeful for, you know, as you know, an outdoor graduation ceremony. Do you think that can happen safely?
You know, I think I'm looking at all the information from the State Department of Public Health. And they have, you know, specific guidelines, very good guidelines for outdoor graduation, where it can be done safely. And I do think if it's done correctly, it could be done safely. And I think it's such an important part of, you know, of the kids, you know, life. You made it all the way through high school. Graduation's a big deal. Yeah. And so I think that if, you know, if they can do it according to the guidelines, then and do it safely, I think it's important. To have it scheduled.
Yeah. As you know, one of the openings this week is barbershops, hair salons, one of which I hope to frequent very soon, actually. back to my 70s hair bouffant here. But what kinds of things should be done both by the employees and the customers?
Right. So there's, again, very good guidelines on the State Department of Public Health, and for any businesses that are opening in phase one or possibly opening phase two, phase three. If you go on to mass.gov/reopening, as the phases come up, there'll be new guidelines there, but the phases for the guidelines for the phase one people are already on there. And there's some really good specifics that hair salons and barbershops need to do, and other businesses that are considered able to open in that first phase. And there is a great checklist that you have to go through. You have to self-certify, and I think people have heard that from the governor. The health department isn't going in and inspecting all these places prior to their opening. We're relying on these business owners to self-certify and have that information, that self-certification and the attestation that says I've self-certified and I've done all this and this is what we're doing. And that has to be all on the premises with some signage up there. And there's a, you know, they've had to, particularly barbershops and hair salons have had to change, drastically change the way they do things in some instances. But I think that a lot of these places were waiting and ready to go. And as soon as the guidelines came out and have made those changes, and I'm confident that you know, the majority of these places will be safe and will be following the guidelines. Patrons need to know that when they go in, they need to mask. And they need to leave that face covering on, whether it's a mask or a paper mask or a cloth mask, whatever face covering you're using, that needs to stay on the entire time that you're there. And that is important to protect you and to protect also your stylist. So there will be certain guidelines. There won't be, you know, most of these places are allowing one person in at a time, or they've made major changes to the setup in the salon, configuration of chairs, and same thing in barbershops. So the guidelines are pretty straightforward. If the guidelines are followed, we can go and have our hair cut and colored and whatever we need to have done safely, and we'll all look better and feel better afterwards. So.
Yes. Now, is your department, do you encourage folks to, you know, report to you if they find something that's amiss?
Right, and that's basically the role of the health department in all this reopenings and in all the phases, that the health department is the institution that you report it to if you're having an issue, and then we'll go out and we'll inspect. Also, the Department of Labor Services is around in all sorts of cities, all different cities, and they will help in the inspectional part of it or the complaint part of it. And they do a great job, and they usually notify us if there's an issue with a business in our city. You know, people can face a fine if they're not following the guidelines, and people can face a cease and desist order, these facilities. Obviously, we don't want to do that. We're not out to be punitive. We're out to educate, and we're out to help these businesses reopen and succeed and keep people safe, and that's the whole plan that we have.
Yeah, the most public one here in Quincy was Walmart. How are they doing up there, Ruth?
So they're doing much better. Walmart is doing much better. The majority of the staff in that particular Walmart has been tested. Only people that tested negative were allowed to return to work. I feel now that they are much more aware of the guidelines. They're following the guidelines. We're still there every day. We have a whole bunch of facilities that my inspectors are going around and checking every day, as well as going through the restaurants and making sure that things are being done correctly. But Walmart has greatly improved in what they were doing and following the guidelines.
Very good. Have you noticed any change in the whole rodent situation since this all started? I've heard reports from other cities.
Yeah, we haven't really yet. So we've gotten some rodent calls. We're just starting to get them. And we expect to start to get them around this time of year because it's getting warm and, you know, the rodents are out. But I have seen a lot of information from the CDC regarding rodents, because they're normal meals would oftentimes come from dumpsters,
right?
You know, behind supermarkets and any type in food restaurants and food facilities, and those dumpsters are primarily empty for the most part, because most of these facilities either have been open but not at full capacity, or in the case of some of the restaurants, not open at all.
Right.
And so the dumpsters, there's not a lot of food for the rats to go after. And on top of that, a lot more people are home, so they're cooking more. There's more garbage and more rubbish in people's homes. So all that added together can be a recipe for rat disaster if we let it. So we're keeping an eye on it. We haven't seen a huge, you know, increase in our calls yet. We are starting to get some rodent calls, but not a huge increase, not anything more than we didn't expect at this time. But we are you know, trying to tell people that make sure that you put your rubbish in a barrel with a container, you know, that has a lid on it.
Right.
Don't leave bags out on the sidewalk, don't leave bags out in your yard, because that's just waiting for the rodents to come in, and they're hungry. So, and we've heard, you know, CDC has put out some information that they're a little bit more aggressive because they are hungry. So all the things that we ask people to do in their homes, in their yards, you know, don't leave dog food or pet food out. Don't put up bird feeders. People love to put up bird feeders this time of year. Yep. Don't, because the seeds attract rodents. So all those things are much more important right now, particularly if we do see an influx of rats. But right now, everything is okay, and we're seeing calls as we would expect to see them.
Okay, I know Councillor Liang has a couple of ordinances to that effect, to not have just a plastic bag out there at the curb.
Right, yes, Councillor Liang has been extremely proactive in helping us to get some ordinances passed through into the municipal code so that we have a little bit more authority to enforce the state sanitary code, the food code, all the different codes that the health department actually is able to enforce, but we don't have a lot of enforcement power. And one of the issues was, plastic bags on the sidewalk, and right. it's just a meal waiting for a rodent. So she has been amazingly helpful to the health department in trying to push that forward, and we're working with her to hopefully get those ordinances put into the municipal code and passed, and give us a little bit more leeway so we can prevent an outbreak of that type with rodents.
Yeah, give you some tools to actually to work with, right?
Exactly.
Do you think, Ruth, kids will be back in the classrooms in the fall?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're still waiting for information on camps. We don't even know that. Yeah, usually right now we're scrambling to get all the information for camps and look at their records and have the camps come in and go over everything. And right now we're in limbo with that. So we don't know. I know that the school department has been working to get ready. I've been talking with Quincy Public Schools, and I've been talking with Quincy College, and I'll be talking with Easton Nazarene. Just to kind of get ready if they do open, what are the things that they might have to do? And there's no really specifics out yet. Mm-hmm. There's that general guidance. Everybody's going to have to social distance. Everybody's going to have to wear some sort of face covering. Mm-hmm. We just don't know how that's going to work in a school environment, because it's very different. Yeah. More to come on that. We haven't got any specific guidance on camps and on schools at this point.
Yeah, or even, the rec programs here in Quincy that are so popular. Yeah. The Y has all their programs.
Huge camp at the Y that we see every year, a bunch of different camps at the Y, and like you say, the Quincy rec program. So we're all kind of in limbo right now. Hopefully we'll be finding out about that soon and going forth from that point. Again, the state is trying to take their time to do it, to make sure that that the guidelines they put out are safe. We do not want to see a spike in cases.
Right. What are you hearing in your world about a possible vaccine?
So I hear what you guys hear on the news. Okay. We're not privy to any, important information like that ahead of anyone. I'm hearing that the trials that they've got going out there, Pfizer is one company. I think Moderna is another company. Mm-hmm. That they're into larger testing now, larger amounts of people that they're testing. And I'm hearing that, what they're coming out with has been very positive, and hopefully, people aren't getting a lot of side effects from it, and it actually helping to stimulate antibodies. So, I'm looking forward to that. I don't foresee it before, the end of the year or maybe January. Yeah. But because that's just the way trials for vaccines take. There is a sequential time period and testing and trials that have to be done. And I think they need to be done the correct way. We don't want to rush it and have something that could make people even more sick or injure people. So I'm enthusiastic about what I hear right now. So hopefully we'll have something down the road and hopefully not too far down.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw just this morning an interesting report out, a study that was done over in London that estimated the cases in Massachusetts were were far higher than confirmed, and people never even knew that they had the virus. And that's really the insidious part of this thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think prior to it even becoming famous as a pandemic and as a virus, I think a lot of people had it. I think it came around last flu season, and people were getting sick and thinking it was just the flu. It was influenza. And when a lot of people look back and say, oh, geez, I had that loss of sense of taste or smell, and I had that symptom. I had, you know, my child had conjunctivitis along with flu symptoms, which I thought was odd, but it was attributed to flu. So I think we'll see that a lot more people had it than we thought, that weren't really symptomatic, or their symptoms were attributed to the flu.
Right. So. Yeah. Does that make them immune, I guess, is the question.
Well, that's a good question too. That's another million-dollar question. we tend to see with coronaviruses in general that you get some immunity, when you get it, common cold, the coronavirus. But we don't know if that's the case here. The thought is, yeah, you probably get some immunity. We don't know how long that immunity is.
Right.
It might be something that once they do get a vaccine that you're going to have it every year, like influenza. It might be a vaccine, who knows, that's mixed in with influenza, and you get one flu shot every year and it's influenza and coronavirus. We don't know that yet. Mm. We don't know if it has the ability to change along the way like flu does. So every year you get a different flu shot because the strains change. So we don't know enough about it. It's still really new.
Yeah.
You figure it's been around maybe since January and February. So it hasn't been around that long, 5 months. That's new.
Yeah.
For a virus. So we're still learning a lot.
That the only way to get answers is to ask all these questions, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we're still, things change. Guidelines change from the state as to how we're doing quarantine. People say, well, first you said 14 days, then you said 10 days, and it's 7 days. And it's because of what we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of what we're seeing, and guidelines change. And I know everybody, it's kind of the term, it was a fluid situation. It's still a fluid situation. This is still new to us, and we're looking to see how we can best handle it and how we can best get back to normal.
But we're still learning. Absolutely.
Is the flu still around, Ruth? The current?
But not a lot. It has phased down. I think everybody kind of almost ignored the flu numbers. And there were a good amount of cases this year. If you asked me how many, I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look it up. Everybody's been more entrenched in coronavirus and the pandemic, but we do still see flu cases occasionally this time of year, but it really has been winding down for the most part now.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, it's allergy season too, which makes everybody cough and sneeze.
Which is why I'm sniffling and coughing and sneezing, and it's difficult because allergy season came around when pandemic came around, and some of the symptoms were very similar, and people were getting a little anxious when the tree started to blossom, and all of a sudden they had a cough.
Yes.
And it was a lot of education with people to try to distinguish the symptoms that were different from coronavirus. So.
Yeah. I've heard reports that maybe heat, high temperature limits coronavirus. That's something else, I guess we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know that. One of the things about that is, well, we were seeing, outbreaks in Florida when it was warm. And
that's true.
A lot of cases in Brazil where I believe it's warm right now in Brazil. So I don't know, I don't know if that really means anything.
Right.
Or if we'll see it as a seasonal thing. I don't know.
Yeah. If folks want to get a hold of you or have questions, Ruth, what's some good resources?
Sure. So Quincy Health Department, my direct line, 617-376-1272. Our main line is 617-376. You can call 1273 or 1274, get you to our front desk. Okay. We're still doing all our regular duties as far as housing issues and restaurant inspections and things like that. But our main focus right now has been with coronavirus. But we're here, happy to answer any questions that people might have.
Yeah. As the situation with the public housing and the homeless contained now, that seemed to have a pretty good outcome.
Yeah. I think, you know, with the overflow shelter at the Y, the Y was generous enough to offer their gym for an overflow shelter during the surge, and the hotel down near Central has been wonderful, the Howard Johnson's Hotel, as far as an overflow for people who needed to quarantine or isolate or healthcare workers who needed to stay there and unable to go home. So, but I think that's starting to wind down as our cases wind down.
Sure. And is testing still going on, do you know?
Testing's still going on. I think our two sites are still open as far as I know. Manet has been amazing. Manet Health Center has been amazing in instituting tests for city residents and for anybody. They were quite helpful in boosting up the tests. And then Harvard Pilgrim had their spot down at Crown Colony. So those two drive-through testing sites were essential in the city and really, really helped to get a lot of people tested who normally wouldn't have been able to get tested. A lot of people originally went into Boston hospitals to get tested because those were the original sites that were open. But to have something right in the city made it that much easier for people.
Sure. Anything else you think we should touch on right now, Ruth?
No, I think we're doing okay. I'm just if people please, I know, you know, things are getting better, but don't forget, things are getting better because you're social distancing and you're wearing face coverings. Please don't let your guard down yet. It's so important. Patience. I know people are chomping at the bit to get back to the way things were before, but it's going to be a little slow and we're chomping at the bit too, but just bear with us and go along with the governor's guidance, and hopefully that slow and easy will get us back to as normal as we can be now.
Great. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy, so I'll let you go, but be well to you and your staff, Ruth. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too, Joe. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.